goodness. Do you know the first time I did this, kind of led a baccalaureate service, I was only 5 years older than the graduates. Boy, I had a lot of wisdom to share. But I tell you what, I met some of you on the day you were born. I've known you your whole lives. I stood with your moms and dads up here when you were dedicated. You went with me up in the waters of the baptistry. We've been to camp. We've been to Belize. It just doesn't seem possible. You guys are so special. Maddie, it just seems like yesterday you invited me to go to your fourth grade class and read the Polar Express. You remember that? Boy, that was really good. That's still one of my favorite books, by the way. And Carter, you remember the time that your baby brother was born and we came over to your house and you were so proud to be a big brother? You're still proud to be a big brother, aren't you? I know you are. It just seems like yesterday. Remember that retreat that we went on? We were going up to the mountains to the Beamer cabin. Colin, we had a lot of retreats. Your folks have been so generous. And it was foggy that night. And the legend of the axe murderer was born as we went to the top of the mountain. And then there was the time, Harry, you remember when we had you guys over to the house one night and everybody was supposed to sleep out on the back porch, but we started telling ghost stories. And then we went to the cemetery in the middle of the night and for some reason nobody wanted to... There was one person who got out of the van. Anybody remember who it was? Come on, Harry, take credit. Colin, was it you? Doesn't surprise me. And none of you guys would sleep on the back porch after that. I just don't understand it. Matt and Austin, you remember when you guys built the rocket? I mean, if you want somebody to build a rocket, here they are. We went out to Dale and Carol Franks, and we had a cookout, and we were going to launch a rocket. And these guys built the rocket, and I started reading the fine print. It said, contact the FAA before firing, and all this other stuff. And when it finally went up, that's the last time we never saw that rocket again. We don't know what happened to it. It was just like yesterday. And Courtney, I don't ever go into Chick-fil-A without thinking about you. I'll go up to the cow and say, have you seen Courtney? Remember the little cow that ended up at your bed at Passport? You remember that? Mary Caroline, I'll be out at the city cemetery conducting a funeral. You know, and I'm supposed to be real dignified and preacherly. And I'll think about that night that, well, it was Halloween and we were having a hayride. And, let's just say Mary Caroline met the immovable object. I remember having to call Mickey and say, I know she's supposed to be at church, but, anyway, you came out just fine, didn't you? Your nose is in good shape. It really is. And then there was a couple of years ago when we were down in Belize and we had finished our work and we were out on the beautiful Southwater Key. And I had a great night's sleep and I got up the next morning and here's Colin Beamer just sipping on a cup of coffee as he normally does. He's our coffee, early morning coffee CEO. Colin's up before anybody else. And Colin, how you doing, Ray? Fine. Did you sleep good? Just fine. And Colin just strolls off, cool as a cucumber. And about that time, one of the ladies comes out and says, Mr. Ray, so good to see you. Your youths are heroes. I said, yeah, they are. They're just wonderful kids. She said, no, they're heroes. They captured pirates last night. They've been terrorizing the keys, stealing boats. Your youths are heroes. Just all in a day's work, isn't it, Colin? Well, I want to tell you all something. You are my heroes. Because I have watched you guys grow up. I have watched you mature into sensitive, compassionate young adults, and you're already making a difference in this world. Some of you have had to grow up a lot faster than others, because some of you, Matt, you have been through an experience that no teenager needs to go through when you lost your dad. But you know what? You're stronger. You are a much more capable, sensitive person because of that experience. You have handled it with grace and with faith. There was probably one moment that might have been my defining moment with all of you. It was the first year that we went to Passport. And it was the first night. And Dr. Phillips and I had retired for the night, and we were in our room when we heard a commotion. Now, to hear a commotion at youth camp is not that unusual. It happens right often. But this was an adult causing the commotion. And I opened the door, and there's this fella who is shouting at my boys, telling them to be quiet. And at that moment, I experienced a transformation. I mean, something happened to me then, because he was fussing at my boys. He wasn't there when you all were born, but I was. He wasn't there when you all were dedicated, but I was. He wasn't there when you all were baptized, but I was. And I told him, I said, if you got a problem with my boys, you come to me. And you know, the guy looked at me, and you remember what he said? He said, well, all I wanted was a little peace and quiet. Sometimes we say things and we look back and say, hey, you know, that is pretty good, even if I did say it. I don't remember what caused me to say this, but I said to him, well, if you wanted peace and quiet, why did you come to a youth camp? And that was when the legend of Mighty Mo was born, that has transcended into the mythology of First Baptist youth lore. If you wanted peace and quiet, well, if you want peace and quiet, thank you, George, right on cue. If you want peace and quiet in life, it's easy to find. You go off, you get an education, you can live a good life, just kind of remove yourself from everybody else and do your own thing. But I think I know you better than that. You're not the type of young people who are going to seek peace and quiet. Because as long as there is injustice in this world, as long as there is inequity in this world, as long as there are poor people who are oppressed in this world, you cannot be content with peace and quiet. And I know you, because you have already stood up for what is right. Because you believe the truth that you have learned in this church, that every individual, regardless of who they are, their background, the language they speak, their ethnicity, regardless of their socioeconomic status, regardless of their background, regardless of their sexual orientation, that every single individual is a child of God, created in the image of God, and is worthy of respect and is a person of worth. And I have seen you stand up for people who have been mistreated. You have stood up and spoken up against prejudice. When Jackson read that scripture a minute ago about taking up your cross, when Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, you cannot enjoy peace and quiet and take up the cross. So if you want peace and quiet, you can find it. But not you. Not you. I mean, you're the ones who capture the pirates. You're the ones who do a little mattress surfing down the stairs. You're the ones who have always found the very best that life has to offer. And my challenge to you today is to continue to create unrest. Continue to shake this world when it needs to be shaken. Continue to stand up and to speak up and to be a person of truth, a person of integrity, and a person who follows the Christ. You guys are so very special. I love you. Joyce loves you. This church loves you. And it has been our honor and privilege to be with you on the journey. In fact, we're better folks because of you. And we wish you the very best. There is a blessing for our graduates. Before you were even formed, God knew you. While you were in your mother's womb, God named you. At your birth, God's breath filled you with life, and today we celebrate what you have become at this moment in time. Amen.